Hey, everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Hey, today I want to talk about, faith. But not just faith, you know, like maybe we've talked about it before, but I want to talk about faith and work, right, and what that means. And I guess today I would probably call this or name this podcast Prove It, right? Like you got to prove it. You got to know what you're doing here. And so we're going to go through James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. It may seem like a bunch. I'm going to read it real quick, and then we'll unpack it a little bit. And so in James chapter 2, verse 14, it starts with, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." So I think that's why today I want to call this Prove It, right? Because we can all have faith, right? And as we review James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, we learn that faith, it doesn't show itself. If faith does not show itself through the God-driven works, then it's a faith that will not save, right? It won't save you if it's just faith by itself. It's nothing more than just people talking, right? Like, I believe. You see, in the life of Christians that believe, hey, I checked that box, right? I went to church on Sunday. If you believe that's all you need, it's not enough, right? These verses right here tell us it's not enough, right? Can you be saved and not do what you're commanded to do? That's the question we should all ask, right? You know, throughout my life, specifically my walk with Christ, right? Throughout my walk, I've heard countless times people say something like, "Well, I go to church. I'm a good person. I go to church on Sundays," or "I'm a good Christian. I pay my tithing." And when somebody says that, I love to ask sometimes, you know, it always depends on the situation, right? If you know that asking the question is appropriate or not, you have to be able to discern that. But if I feel like I have the opportunity to ask that question, I'm going to ask them, right? Like, what did you do today for the growth of the kingdom? And when I ask it, when I feel like it's appropriate, I pretty much already know the answer, right? And a lot of times I get this puzzled look, right? The puzzle look that I get or the non-response, it speaks volumes. You know, I'm not trying to be mean or I'm not trying to be confrontational at all, but I'm trying to make people understand that just doing that one thing of going to church on Sunday, just doing that, I paid my tithing, that doesn't guarantee you anything. James is teaching us that. You know, the moral of this story, these verses, really boils down to, you know, that talk, right, faith backed by inaction amounts to nothing in our walk with the Lord. Nothing. You know, I'm sure that you know, most people listening have a favorite sports team, right? A favorite professional sports team. And at some point, you can look back at a specific player in history that was drafted, right? And that player was supposed to bring a championship to your team. They're like the end-all, be-all. They're going to do it, right? There's all this hype and all this inspiration to the fans about the future and what that's going to look like. And then that player arrived, and they started to play. And you quickly find out that they're not even close to what the hype was, you know? If you look at the NFL draft, right, you can go quickly Google the worst flops in draft history. But I remember, to me, the biggest one, and I think they'll say there's some other ones, right? But to me, Ryan Leaf was drafted in 1998. He was drafted second overall by the San Diego Chargers. Now, at that same time, that's the year that Peyton Manning was drafted. Now, you know, Ryan Leaf, he was considered by most people to be – he was going to be as good as Peyton, right? There were actually people who thought he was better, that he should have been taken first overall. And you know, leading up to the draft and even, you know, after the picks, leading into training camp, everyone looked – at these two superstar quarterbacks and thought, man, they're going to be competing against each other for years. But the things that people didn't know was the stuff that you don't see every day, right? The off-the-field behavior that plagued Ryan's career, right? And then you add that with the injuries, it really just helped contribute to just horrendous play, right? And it was the demise of his NFL career, right? He lasted until the end of the 2000 season, so 2 years, right? And San Diego had had enough. They just dropped him. They're like, we're done with this. So, like, what I'm trying to say by bringing this is that we can all talk about how amazing we are. We can pump everybody up. But what happens when we're put in the game? How do we handle the pressure? And you know what? Maybe pressure isn't the right word, but how do we handle the task we are given by God? You know, Ryan Leaf was this star, right? He was this star talent. Everybody thought he was. Everybody said he was. But he couldn't verify it on the field. He couldn't stand behind the hype. He had no God-given talent to succeed on the field. Right? He was great in college, but it just didn't work. So that same thing, that same, you know, thing that we say about Ryan Leaf or some pro athletes that don't stand up to their hype, we could say that about the people who profess to be born again believers, right? If you say that you were born again and you show no signs through God-driven works, maybe you're nothing more than a professor of your faith. Maybe you're, you know, maybe you're wrong. I know a lot that maybe listen to this right now and thinking, but, you know, isn't James contradicting what you know, Paul teaches us? You know, because Paul repeatedly taught us that we're saved by faith alone and not by works, right? But that's not what James is doing. He is not contradicting Paul at all. He's just simply clarifying that a critical dimension of our faith is walking it out, right? He's stating that works are a certain byproduct of salvation, right? Like, because of our salvation, there are going to be works. And if you've never displayed any God-given works, maybe you should question your salvation. And look, the key here is God-driven works, not acts of goodness, right? We do acts of goodness all the time. You know, I'm not talking about an act of goodness that's initiated by you to win God's favor or for, you know, personal self-interest. God-driven works can be anything from the desire to share your testimony to resisting sin, and it's resisting sin by relying on the Spirit, right? To assisting someone in need with stretching your hand out, right? Or just smile at somebody, maybe a small word of encouragement or a prayer for them. That's just a few things. And I think it's important to really think about those things, because I'm not sitting here saying you have to do all these grandiose things. I'm saying when you feel the Spirit directing you to do something, don't turn away from it. Don't ignore what you've been asked to do. If you're in a grocery store and you feel the Spirit push you to help someone or even just smile and say hello, that's what you're supposed to do, right? That's that God-driven work. That tiny little gesture, that small God-driven work I'm talking about, you may never know it, but that simple smile could be the one thing that that person needed to make their day. And God knew they needed it. That's why he pushed you. You were the only one he blessed with that request. Don't walk away from that blessing. It is not just for them. It's for you as well. Now, if we talk about people who are kind of new in their faith or young in their faith, like baby Christians, right? Don't assume that you're going to immediately change all these bad habits, right? Or in these negative habits. Like the moment you accept Christ, it's not just like a light switch. I mean, it wasn't for me. It's been hard, right? You know, God takes his time. He takes his time removing all the garbage that exists in our lives because he wants us to reflect his image. And to reflect his image, he's got to do it his way. He's got to do it the right way, right? And it's not just overnight. That's where the battle begins, you know, and I mean, that's just what it boils down to. But in addition to God doing things in his way, in his time, if you haven't begun to reflect his image in any way, then you really got to ask yourself, have you sincerely accepted the Lord's call? And I mean, a little way, right? This, like I said before, we're not talking about grandiose things, right? But if you're not in his image, even a little way, like, hey, I'm going to pray every morning. And I don't mean just pray over my food, right? I mean, reflect his image in the smallest ways. And if you can't see that, are you being sincere with yourself? You know, as we dig a little more, we have to look at the words, you know, given to Paul too, right? If we look at Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Think about that, right? Which God prepared in advance. He had a plan, right? You see, God has a plan. And that plan is to show the world the difference that Christ can make in our lives. It's God who should be given complete and total credit for all the good works. He created us to perform them. He's what fuels all God-driven work that we do, anybody. If it's works that we do driven by God, he creates the fuel. You know, I'm sure that people who knew me before I came to Christ might wonder, like, why do I do so much ministry? Why am I always going, right? Or how do I always go? Why do I give up so many things to go do ministry? Why do I sacrifice so much to serve God? I've actually had people say that to me. So I want to make sure that you really understand what God has done for me. And because of what he has done for me, I cannot ever be content with putting my hands in my pocket and doing nothing. If you've accepted Christ and you are honest with yourself about what Christ has done for you, I don't know of a way that you would be able to restrain yourself and just sit there and do nothing. It would be virtually impossible. It is virtually impossible for me to do nothing. You know, it'd be like trying to hold back a whole bunch of horses with no rope, or just, you know, a whole bunch of horses by one guy. It would never happen, right? You got to remember, Jesus is our commander, not vice versa, right? So to be in tune with Christ is to produce the kind of works that will glorify him, right? But first, we have to accept that unconditional gift of salvation. That's where works come from. It's not because we're trying to earn something. When we accept that unconditional gift of salvation, works is going to happen. It has to happen. God will lead us to produce works that verify our salvation, right? Not the other way around. He will lead us to produce works that verify our salvation. So as we go into this, right, the next point that James makes is that saving faith is more than talking, right? True Christian faith must express itself in goodness, right? In the goodness that we do for other people. And if we look again at the example that he cites, for lack of a better term, kind of like ignoring or fluffing off the destitute in verses 15 and 16, this type of callous behavior, it exists amongst the believers in Christ today, right? We see it all the time. We can all drift that way if we don't trust and rely on the Spirit that lives within us, right? If we don't listen and trust the Spirit that lives in us, then we may ignore those people too. You know, how many times have you heard somebody say, "I'll pray for you"? Or have you heard, had somebody say, "Hey, if I can be of any help at all, just call me"? You know, if you've heard people say that, you know, "I'll pray for you," or "if I can help, just give me a call." These expressions, they can lack substance, right? They lack as much substance as saying, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed." But they do nothing about people's physical needs. You know, and James is saying, what good is it? What good is it to say, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," if you don't give them warmth and give them food, right? If you don't help them reach peace. So what I'm saying is, don't wait. Respond to that request now. Pray for them right now, on the spot. Whether it's on the phone, whether it's in the car, at the door, in the grocery store, during lunch, wherever it is, don't wait. Now look, I know this isn't easy. I'm sure it sounds easy coming out of my mouth, but it's not easy for me. I struggle with this as much as anyone else. I don't know, maybe more, right? I have this fear of rejection. I have this fear of, maybe I'm going to say something wrong, or it's just a fear of the unknown. But what I have come to accept is that fear is the adversary keeping me from doing what God needs me to do. So don't let the devil win. As scary as it is, just please don't wait. You know, something I really need to work on is remembering to do it. Like, if I tell somebody, "Hey, I'll pray for you," I pray for them, but I got to be more intentional about it, right? I'll remember, but it might be the next day. You know, so if I don't write it down, there's a good chance that it's not going to be intentional like it needs to be. Right? And so I got to get better at that. I think probably all of us do. And so what I've realized is, now that we live in this world of smartphones and social media and all these things, there's tons of apps on your smartphone that can help you with this, right? I have one that I've downloaded called Echo. And in the Echo, you can put in a prayer and then you can put in a reminder with dates and how often you want it to repeat. So if it's something like, hey, I want to, you know, I told somebody I want to pray for this and I'm, you know, so I can put it in and I can make sure. But this way you don't forget, right? I have to get better at doing it. But what it's going to do is it's going to help me ensure that my prayers will be ongoing and specific. That's what God wants too, right? I know that when I put a prayer in my phone right then, when I tell somebody that I'm going to pray for them, like, hey, if I say I will pray and they see me do it, they know someone really cares. They know that it's not just lip service, like, oh, I'll pray for you, right? They see that I'm doing it. I'm not just another Christian, right? And like I said a minute ago, I'll be transparent, right? I don't do this as much as I should, but I'm committed to changing this. And I'm committed to be very intentional about my prayers and very intentional about when I say I'm going to do something that I do it. You know, there are many people out there that genuinely believe that there is one God, and good for them. But just that belief in God, it's meaningless on its own, right? Like James teaches us, right? Even the demons believe in God, and we know where we know their fate. We know what happens to them. You know, James teaches us that demons may even be out in front of those, right? They may be out in front of those addressed in this verse because they've demonstrated a deep understanding of the person of God, and they tremble before him. I mean, how many people who have always believed in God fear him like that? You know, do you fear God? Because the demons do, right? But that doesn't mean they have faith in him. You know, God knows that he exists. Like, think about this, right? He doesn't need recognition from anyone. He doesn't need to know that we have faith in him, right? The flip side of that is everyone needs to recognize and receive this incredibly amazing gift of salvation. And everyone needs to put their faith in action by trusting God's will, right? I mean, think about that. God knows who he is. He created everything. He doesn't need recognition from us, but we need him. We need his salvation. We need to trust his will for us. We need to believe. And belief is something that is rooted in our hearts. And wherever you find that belief, it's gonna produce fruitful works. That's how it works, right? That kind of belief is like a second nature that you're gonna be led not just to avoid sin, but to do good. When belief is genuine, works, good works will follow, right? You know, to use James' expression of verse 22, faith is made complete by works. So that means that we show our faith by the works that we do. Have you ever thought about that? That you can't just say, well, I have faith. Well, prove it. You know, in verse 21, you know, God put Abraham's faith to a test by commanding him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Well, for whose sake did God need Abraham to prove that, right? I mean, certainly God already knew Abraham's heart, right? Abraham wasn't tested so that God would know the measure of his faith. Abraham was tested so that Abraham himself would know. And look, here's something else, right? He was tested that we would know that not only was Abraham's faith real, but that his God was real, right? It is God, the object of faith, that gives us confidence to walk by faith and who makes our acts of faith purposeful. Abraham's demonstration of faith was really meant to be a gauge for us, right? A gauge by which we could measure the reality of our own faith. Now, look, I don't know. I don't know what I would do today, right? If God, you know, if I was put in that situation and God said, I need you to take your firstborn and go up to this altar. I honestly, I don't know. I want to believe that I'm faithful, but that's a lot, right? You know, if such works are not in us, you know, how do we, are we trusting in God, right? I think it's a lot to think about, you know, because like I said, I want to believe I'm faithful, but whoa, that's a lot, right? I don't know a lot of people who would do that. And as we review verse 24, James says that we're considered righteous, not by faith alone, right? And remember, God doesn't take away our salvation, right? He died for, you know, Christ died for our past, present, and future sins. He doesn't take away our salvation. He certainly won't take away our justification, right? So if you're saved, you're justified. And if you're justified, then you're saved. Therefore, if you're saved, you should do good works because of faith, not to be saved, because you're already saved, right? So the one thing I always ask myself is, do I, as a result of my justification, produce good work? Am I failing to look at that or react to that tugging on me by the Holy Spirit? That's probably the right way to say it, right? Am I listening to the Spirit directing me? Am I giving in to the Spirit and doing what God wants me to do? That's what I try to ask myself. And honestly, sometimes no, I'm not, and I gotta repent for that. You know, if you've listened to these podcasts, you know I've felt for the last 3 years that I'm supposed to do this. And I ran away from it for 2 years. I guess what I'm trying to say is, don't resist biblical truth. There's too much at stake. You know, I'm afraid that some people who label themselves as Christians, but who week in and week out do nothing of substance for the cause, nothing of substance to grow the kingdom. Something's wrong. I fear for them. I'm afraid for them. What? As a believer, right? All believers are children of God. Who, as a child of God, we have been spared this horrific eternity, right? So what kind of child, belonging to such a glorious and gracious Father, wants to have nothing to do with him? Jesus can make you a bright light in a dark world. He can make you a blessing. But you got to choose to do it. So today my prayer is that we do that, right? That today, as Christians, we step out of our comfort zone and we listen to the Spirit. Father, help us do that. Help us listen to what you have in store. Help us do God-driven works, because that's what we're guided to do. Help us see the lost. Help us see the less than of society that need our help. Let us just smile at them and walk with them and hug them and do whatever they need, Father. Just allow us to be the light that they need in a dark world. Allow us to show them the love that you so graciously have shown us. Amen. Hey, look, this is Rick with the Nomad Pastor. Subscribe, share it with your friends. Give us a review. Let me know what you think. Send me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. Thanks.